All right. Well, we are in our message series. We're actually ending it today, our message series entitled Uncensored. We're taking an uncensored look at the life of David. And if you read anything in Psalms, any of his Psalms that he's written in the Old Testament, you will realize that he had an uncensored relationship with God. And I like that about David. I mean, he told God it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, the really ugly. And he didn't hold anything back. And he and God had a close, tight-knit relationship because of that. That's the same kind of relationship that God wants to have with me and with you. That kind of uncensored, close relationship. So today, the title of my message is, I Want Justice. I Want Justice. And as Casey and I were preparing for this message and really just feeling led to go this direction this week, I'll tell you, I felt so strongly the Lord doing something in me during this message. I mean, I felt him challenging me as we were writing, and I thought, oh, I know that it's going to challenge some people in church this Sunday because it's already doing a work in me, but it's something we all need to hear. And it may step on your toes a little bit, but that's okay because mine have already been stepped on and they recovered. But the great thing about God, when he does challenge and convict and correct a little bit, it's always leading us to life. It's always leading us to get better and do better, and it's always leading us to him, and he is waiting for us to commend us. And so it's going to be a great message. Buckle up, get ready. And everybody say, I want justice. Give me some justice. I want justice. Why? Why do we want justice? Because there are always going to be people in your life who criticize you, talk bad about you, lie about you, which always blows me away that people can do that, lie about you, judge you, spread rumors about you. It's just part of living on planet Earth. Even Jesus was lied about and mistreated. So we definitely aren't going to get through life unscathed from that. But let's be honest for a second. When you are mistreated, what do you want to do? For me, I want some justice. When I'm mistreated, when I'm lied about, I mean, I want somebody to pay for what they did. And honestly, that's okay because justice is innate in the heart of God. It's who he is. It's part of his character. And so that quality being in us, I believe, is God put, is God founded. I mean, when something unjust happens, we want to see that wrong made right. That is a good thing. But very quickly, it can turn over into something that's negative because in that desire to see justice, we can often want to take it into our own hands, and that bleeds right on into wanting revenge. There, a few years ago, was a friend of mine who I'd say they made some choices to go a certain route, and those choices benefited them, but it really did hurt me. It hurt Casey as well. And so naturally, I'm thinking, well, if I let them know what they're doing, then they'll stop because it was harmful to us. And so, you know, we went and talked to them, and that person said, I'm sorry, but I'm going in this direction anyway. And that blew my mind. It shook us. It rocked me. Because I thought, we are friends. We have history together. We have been in relationship with you forever. How in the world could you do something like that to me? How could you make that choice knowing that we're going to be hurt by it? And I'm going to be honest, I wanted some justice, but it was also bleeding over into revenge. I mean, I'm just going to tell you the truth. And that's what happens when I'm mistreated, when I am wronged or attacked, I want to exonerate myself and I want to attack back. I mean, look, I might be the only person in here that wants that and you all might be saints, but this is the truth of who I am. I want to attack back. My flesh, the inside, I want to say, you deserve something bad for what you did to me. Now, let me say, exonerating yourself is not always a bad thing. It's okay to do that, but here's what I notice, at least in my own heart. If we're truthful, sometimes and I would be bold enough to say most times, in our desire to exonerate ourselves is this hidden motive to damage the other person, to defame them. That is a form of revenge. Let me give you the definition of revenge, just the simple Webster definition. It's the action of inflicting hurt or harm on someone for an injury or a wrong suffered at their hands. You hurt me, I want to hurt you. Now that harm and that hurt, it doesn't have to be just physical. I mean, I don't know when the last time I've actually hurt someone because they've hurt me, but physically. But we can also hurt emotionally. We can hurt their reputation. We can try to damage their character. So it's not just a physical thing. Now turn with me to 1 Samuel 24, and I want to tell you a story that I have always thought was fascinating, because David found himself in a situation where he was wounded, he was wronged, and I'm talking terribly wronged, and he wanted justice. And he had a chance to get revenge, and I want you to see what he did. 1 Samuel 24, you can also follow along on the screen or on the KeyPoint app. David, the poor guy, he is a fugitive once again on the run. I mean, the guy, it's like he was running most of his life. He ran from his son. He ran from his enemies. He's running from King Saul, whom was his mentor. I mean, the guy, he had it hard, okay? But he's running for his life. Saul's chasing him, pursuing him to kill him daily. But here's the thing, and I want you to get this point. I want to major on it for just a second because it is important. David did nothing wrong to Saul. He served Saul faithfully. He was in his army. He was there for everything he could ever need. He loved Saul. He did nothing wrong. That I want you to see, because so often it's hard for us to understand. I've done nothing wrong to you. Why are you doing wrong to me? It's the nature of the beast with revenge. David did nothing wrong, and here Saul was pursuing him because of Saul's own issues. Saul had jealousy toward David, and those issues tore David's life apart. He lost everything, and daily he's living in anxiety, in caves up in the crags of the mountains, all because of this crazy man is jealous, his own issues. And to make matters worse, Saul gathers men of his own army to chase David, but the men in the army David used to fight with, there were men right alongside that he was brother to brother fighting in combat with. Talk about add insult to injury. I mean, ouch. These are your own people. You were faithful, and now they've turned their back on you too, and you've done nothing wrong. Talk about a sense of injustice. And I feel like he had every right to want to see justice done in this situation. But I want you to see what he did when he had an opportunity to take that justice into his own hands. Look at 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. David and his men, a group of men that rallied around him, they're hiding up in a cave in En-Gedi. And verse 1 says, after Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David was ratted out by somebody. David is in the desert in En-Gedi. Verse 2, so Saul took 3,000 against David and his smaller army of men. 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. I love the Bible. Verse 3, he came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. He had to go to the bathroom. Talk about being uncensored in the word. David and his men were far back in the cave, so Saul is clueless. He has no idea. He's just walked into the wrong cave at the wrong time. Verse 4, the men, and that's David's men, said, listen to this. This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Yes, David was told that by God in a previous encounter. But what he meant, what God was meaning by that is your enemies will be in your hand one day. When you are king, you will rule and you'll be able to do whatever you want. You will have the authority. But David's men were turning God's word around to suit themselves because their flesh, they wanted revenge. David, You can do this. This is God giving you this opportunity. And here's Saul. He walks into this cave clueless, and he's going to the bathroom, the very same cave that David's men are hiding in. What are the odds of that? I think God had something to do with this, because God will always give you opportunities that present themselves in your life for you to choose to do the right thing, so that he can draw you closer to him so that you will be more like Christ and become a better person. He'll give you opportunities to take the humble and take the high road. But every time you take the high road and you humble yourself before God and you choose not to retaliate and act in revenge, he will always lift you up. God humbles the proud and lifts up the humble. And so here you have David's men insisting God has set you up. I mean, we're about to be done with all this running. This is so God. He is so good. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. He has set you up. God is good all the time. I mean, they're going on and on just saying how awesome this opportunity is. You have every right, David. It's self-defense. You've done nothing wrong. And killing Saul is so easily justified, wasn't it? And that I find that when the more corrupt someone is, it's so much easier to justify doing wrong. I mean, we are justified. We are right. We did nothing wrong. They're the ones that are wrong. They're corrupt. So easy to turn it around. And I think David was kind of talked into it, honestly. And so he takes up a knife and he goes down to wherever Saul was. And he is quiet and he sneaks up on him. And I think that he had that knife reared back, ready to be thrust into Saul's back. And right before he could do it, I just think he was arrested by the Spirit of God, and he just said, no, I cannot do this. This is wrong. And two wrongs don't make me right. And I will have blood on my hands. Look what happened. Look at the choice he made in verse 4. It said, David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. That's a weird thing to do. Verse 5, afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. Stop for a second. I just want to say that when God puts people in positions of authority, whether it be your boss or the highest position of authority, whatever it is, that does not mean that God is validating the actions that they make. God put them there, and it is up to him to judge their actions. They're responsible for their actions. We are responsible for our actions. So do not get hung up on that. Well, how could God keep them there? He will judge them accordingly. You worry about you and the actions that you have in response to them, okay? It's just a challenge even to my soul. Verse 7, it says, with these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. David feels convicted about even cutting a piece of the corner of the robe off. Like, really? I mean, that's nice to me. Why was that? What was the issue? Well, back then, a king's robe was the symbol of who he was. It was his authority. So by cutting some of the robe off, David was essentially saying, you're not king. It was symbolic. He was saying, I invalidate you as king. You have no authority over me. I rise up against you. So it really was a big deal in those days. It was being disrespectful to the office. And really what it meant was to touch the king's robe was to touch the king. And that was a big deal. Verse 6, David goes on, he says, it's a serious sin. And when I recognize that word, sometimes you read over it and you just don't see it because you've read it so many times. But when I saw that word sin, boy, it grabbed me, because he calls it a sin. He says it's a serious sin to attack God's chosen king in any way. And might I add in to us today, even verbally, even trying to defame them. It's a serious sin to attack God's chosen king in any way. David considered what he did as an attack on Saul, such strong words, but he was conscience stricken. He knew, I am not going to have this wrong on my hands. Now, if it was me, I think Saul deserved far worse than that. I mean, honestly, Saul deserved death. I mean, he was harming David. It was ridiculous what he was doing to him. And I think Saul should have been darn thankful that David did not take that spear, that knife, and put it in his back. And that's how we rationalize things, isn't it? When we want to retaliate, we just think, I'm just going to do a little bit. I'm just going to cut off a little bit of the robe. It's not a big deal. I'm just going to get a little backhanded word to them on Twitter. I'm going to say something all about the situation that everybody knows what situation I'm talking about, but I'm not going to put their name on it in Facebook. I mean, you know, I didn't say their name, so I'm not in the wrong. I'm just going to vent to my friends because I need to vent. I've got all this pinned up. I need to vent, but you know quickly when that venting turns to gossip. You know quickly when it does. I just need a little, just a little. It's no big deal. I'm going to rationalize it all. I'm not being a bad person, but you know what? It's even a little thing. Even a little thing matters because there's no such thing as a small step on the road to revenge. Even a small step in that direction is the wrong direction, right? Come on, you need to talk back to me. I know this is challenging, but I know I'm speaking the word of God here, and I know somebody's getting it. Even a small step in that direction is the wrong direction. Don't take the step. Keep your heart clean. So since we are all going to deal with this, I want you to consider something right now. Make the choice right now to get your path of action when you do face betrayal or harm or mistreatment. The first thing is this, that you will be mistreated. Happy Labor Day. Welcome to Key Point Church. It's exciting, right? Woo! I'm going to be mistreated. Yes, I was encouraged today in church. But it's true, you will be. We all live on planet Earth. We breathe the same oxygen. We are human beings. You will be mistreated. And the reason I want to talk about this is because I find that that is the issue that stumps so many people up. How could they do this to me? Because they're human. And we can't get over the fact that I was mistreated. And I know that because I deal with that myself. How could you do this to me? The longer I'm alive, the longer I realize that the answer is always the same. The same heart, the same nature that beat in Saul beats in us. It's true. We are flawed people. We have each our own issues. We have insecurities, which leads to jealousy. We have all kind of hurts that other people have caused us, and hurt people often like to hurt people. We need to let God heal us, but because of that, we will inevitably hurt each other. We will, even if we don't mean to, we will hurt each other. Now, just because that is the case, that doesn't mean you can't be responsible for your own actions. We are all responsible for our own actions. God challenges us to treat people as we want to be treated, to love people, to do the right thing, and that's what we're responsible for doing. But even so, because we are human, we are going to mess up. That means we cannot walk around this earth with this everybody's out to get me attitude and get offended at everything. Some people thrive on that. But I'm just going to tell you right now, I do not like being around those kind of people. Those prickly people that every little thing bothers them and they hold grudges. It's not fun to be around them. If you're that type of person, don't come around me because I'm not going to coddle you. Because God wants us all to be free. It's no fun being like that. Ask God to help you with your grudges. He wants to free you from those things. You know why? Because we're not victims. Everybody say that out loud, please. I am not a victim. Now, like you mean it, tell the person next to you, you're not a victim either. We're not. We are not victims. We are victors. If we have Christ on the inside of us, we walk this earth victors. Even in our pain, God can make us a victor. But even because of that, we got to know we will be mistreated. So go ahead and expect it. Don't get hung up on trying to understand it. And since mistreatment is inevitable, you're going to probably want some revenge. I said it. I want revenge sometimes. It's true. Because there is a sense of justice put inside of us by God. But again, it bleeds over very quickly into revenge when that justice wants punishment and we want to do it. Because most of the time, we think that that punishment would be best coming from our own hands. It'd be best because it makes us feel good. It's not the right thing to do, though. I want to damage their reputation just a little bit. I want everyone to stop thinking they're so great. Makes me mad that everybody thinks they're great, and I know the real character. I know what they've done to me and how bad that they've hurt me, and that is revenge. It's revenge. I don't want him to lose his job. I just don't want him to get the promotion. That's revenge. See, sometimes revenge is not wanting bad things to happen to people. It's not wanting the good things to happen to people. It's a form of punishment. It's true. We want them punished. It feels good to watch them suffer. It's revenge. That's why the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6 are so revolutionary. He says, love your enemies. Man, that's hard. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. You know why? Because they're going to need mercy from God. So pray for them. Verse 29, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. Now let me say, if you slap my cheek, I will symbolically turn the other because you're not getting the other cheek. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. In other words, God's just saying, do the opposite of what you want to do. Do the opposite of what your flesh is crying out to do. Keep your heart clean of hate and bitterness and anger and resentment. Because when you do that, it will set you up to receive God's strength so that you can take the high road. And remember, when we take the high road by being humble and walking in humility, God lifts us up. We do the right thing. He's challenging us to do the right thing. Okay, well then how is that just? If God is such a God of justice, then how is that just? Who will punish them? How will justice be served? I think another thing to consider, number three, is let God be judge. Oh, that's challenging. Let God be judge, but when you do it, there is a freedom that comes over you. Psalm 43, verse 1. These are words from David in his many times of being mistreated. He says, vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause. The Hebrew word for vindicate means be my judge and get me justice. So he's saying, God, get me justice. The word plead in Hebrew, it says, take up my cause and fight for me. Can I say for a second that most of the time, really all the time, if you want to be technical about it, our fight is against our enemy, which is Satan, not against flesh and blood, which is people. They're just being influenced by their own hurt and pain. The enemy takes that and twists that inside of them. But really, our fight is against Satan. And I pray all the time, no weapon formed against me will prosper. God, plead my cause. Defend me and my enemies. And pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your enemies so that the mercy of God will come upon them. Psalm 35, 1, David says, plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. David feels wrong, and there's this sense of injustice, so he takes that to God, and he lets God be judge. He decides, vengeance is not mine. I'm not going to do it. God, I'm going to let you have the vengeance. Romans 12, 18 through 19, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, our choices, our decisions, live at peace with everyone. 19, do not take revenge. Oh, it's hard, my friends. But why? Because it does sound unjust, doesn't it? Don't take revenge. Why? But leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Every time you feel attacked, criticized, done wrong, betrayed by people, left, people don't even care, What did I do to you? You have two choices. You can either avenge yourself, or you can put the wrong that was done to you in the hands of God and let Him avenge. And who do you think is going to do the better job? God is a just God, and He is very good at His job. David did the right thing. By the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he yielded to it through obedience, even though I know his flesh was crying out, I want to murder you right now because you have made my life a living hell. And if I take you out, all that will stop. Whew, the temptation must have been off the charts. But the Spirit of God arrested him, and he knew the end is not going to be what I think it is. I'm not going to feel the way I think I'm going to feel. Because God is telling me not to. So he said no, and God dealt with Saul. Saul leaves the cave, and David follows behind him at a distance and then holds up the little part of the robe and calls out to Saul. Saul sees it and realizes, my life has been spared. The guy could have killed me. And he calls back to David these words. You are more righteous than I, he said. You have treated me well, and I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me, and the Lord delivered you into my hands, but you didn't kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? It's kind of shocking, he's thinking, that you did this for me. May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. And oh, the reward will be well when God vindicates you. When we release those people to God, we put the outcome in God's hands. Now let me say this, because we hear, oh, just forgive and just let it go. Well, it's not that easy sometimes when you have been very betrayed and hurt by people. When you release people into God's hands, it doesn't mean that you are saying what they have done to you is okay. It doesn't mean that you're saying it's no big deal. I've let it go. That's not at all what it means. God knows how bad it was. God knows how much it's wounded you. When you take the person and you let them off the hook and you put them in God's hands, what you're essentially doing is putting them on God's hook and saying, God, it's not my job to be judge. You are judge. So yes, it was a big deal to me. And I don't think it was right. And I'm not at all saying, oh, no big deal. I'm saying, God, you handle it. Because I am not judge. And help me in my heart to stay clean. Help me to forgive them. Because I know that the greatest judge of all is taking care of it all. He is going to even the playing fields. God is a good God. And he wants to take care of you. But like I said before in scripture in Romans, it says pray for your enemy. Pray for those who mistreat you and persecute you. Because you know what? When your heart is really going in the right direction, after you've spent some time with the Lord, you don't want to see that befall them. You want to see grace on their life. You want to see restoration. You want God to bring them back to Him and show them where they went wrong. You want there to be restoration. And your heart may not be there yet. That's okay. It will get there if you keep being obedient to God. Most importantly right now is that you don't seek revenge, but you put them on God's hook and let Him handle it. We are not judge. Why don't you bow your heads this morning? There's some people in here that would say, I don't have a relationship with God like that. I don't know God like that, and I want to know Him like that. I want to know that He's the one that defends me, that He loves me. Maybe at one point you did know that, but you feel very far away from God. I'm not talking about you sinned last night. I'm talking about you feel like your relationship with God is disconnected. Or maybe you've never had one with Him and you want to get it right this morning. And of course, we mean changing your eternal destination from hell to heaven. It's a very important decision, the most important decision you can make in your life. Don't let this chance pass you by. The scripture says that today is the day of salvation. The reason it says today is you may not get tomorrow. If that's you, I want to ask you to look up at me. No one will embarrass you. This is between you and God. But I want to acknowledge it. Look up at me if that's you. I want to invite Christ into my heart or rededicate my life to Him. Thank you. Yes, thank you. God sees you. Most important decision you could ever make. Come on, who else? I want to give my heart to Christ. Thank you. God sees you. Who else? Come on. I want to give, yes, thank you. I want to give my heart to Christ this morning. I want to give it all to him. Thank you. Who else? A few more seconds. Anybody else? I want to give my life to Christ. I want to change. Yes, I want to change my eternal destination from hell to heaven. I want to have a relationship with him. I want to lay it all down today. Anybody else? A few more seconds. Yes, yes. God sees you. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Two more seconds. Okay, let's pray all together out loud like you mean it. This is an important prayer. Father God, thank you for your love. Holy Spirit, come live inside of me. Jesus Christ, thank you for the cross. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I receive your forgiveness. I confess today that I am a new creation. The old is gone in Jesus' name. Now, I want to pray for any person in here that would say, I'm struggling with wanting revenge. I'm struggling with a hurt and a pain done to me, and I need prayer over it. If that's you, just look up to God. You can raise your hand up, whatever it is, I want to pray over you. I believe that there's someone in here that needs to release that pain and that hurt to God. Release it to him right now as your hands are raised to heaven. Father, I just pray for every person in here, God, that has struggled with pain, that has struggled with hurt and mistreatment. Maybe a spouse walked out of them, a child turned their back on them, maybe a teacher or someone they worked with, someone they trusted did them wrong. And it could have been 10 years ago, but it is still, the pain is still just as real today. Father, I pray that you would do a work. Give them the strength to take the high road and humble themselves. Give them the strength to put them on your hook and let that choice be flooded by a feeling of peace. God sees your pain. He sees what that person did to you, and he is saying, I am sorry. I am sorry. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. And Father, I thank you that we're going to walk out here today lighter than we did when we came in, because we trust you, Jesus. You are a God of justice. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.